Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And amidst that flurry of executive actions yesterday, President Trump laid the groundwork for what many had dismissed during his campaign as bluster, a wall to be built on the U.S.-Mexico border. And while Congress is reportedly set to front the money for the project, Trump reiterated his pledge that Mexico would pay for the wall, albeit without laying out many specifics.
But I'm just telling you, there will be a payment. It will be in a form, perhaps a complicated form.
It will be in a form, Trump told ABC's David Muir there. And on the other side of the border, Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto has also taken to the airwaves to offer a counter to Trump's plan and his statement that Mexico will pay for the wall.
Lo he dicho una y otra vez. México no pagará ningún muro.
Saying bluntly in Spanish there, I have repeatedly said Mexico will not pay for the wall. Such markedly different positions from two different presidents, and their back and forth is continuing. Just in the last half hour, Peña Nieto said yesterday that he's so offended by this that he may cancel his planned meeting with President Trump for next week. So just a few minutes ago, Trump said, no, I may cancel my meeting with him. Ha, take that. So joining me to try to figure out what's going on here is Juan Manuel Benitez, frequent guest host of this show and host of New York One Noticias, Puerto Politica. New York One Noticias is the Spanish language station of the all-news channel New York One. Hi, Juan Manuel. Welcome back to the guest's chair.
Thank you, Brian.
So there's clearly a difference of opinion here between President Trump and Peña Nieto. I guess I wonder if you understand what Trump is signaling when he says there will be a payment. It will be in a form, perhaps a complicated form. Certainly Mexico is not going to say, sure, here's $20 billion to build a wall next to our country in some direct way. Do you have any idea what Trump has in mind for those indirect, complicated forms of payment?
Well, we do know that he wants to renegotiate NAFTA. Right. So who knows? Maybe he's going to include some sort of a clause in the new treaty talking about how to reimburse or getting some chunk of money to pay for the wall. Another idea that he floated in the past is to tax remittances, money sent from Mexicans here in the U.S., sent to their families in Mexico, tax those to pay for the wall. We don't know. He doesn't know, obviously, yet. But we see that those promises that he made while campaigning, now he is putting them in action.
Now, that second option that you mentioned, to me, I'll just say, sounds horrible because it sounds like placing a burden on a lot of poor families to pay for the wall. People who are here legally in many cases, if they're sending remittances back home, that is money that they've earned, by working jobs in the United States, sending some of it back home to their families in Mexico. People send remittances to their families in many, many countries. There would be a specific tax on, like a wall tax on remittances?
Well, that's what he floated at one point during the campaign. If that is possible or feasible, we don't know yet. Another thing to talk about, because you mentioned how the president of Mexico is coming to D.C. next week, and we don't know if he's going to cancel his visit, is that when President Trump yesterday signed these two executive orders, in D.C., there were already the economy and also the foreign affairs ministers of Mexico. They were in D.C. already traveling to have some meetings with White House officials. So we don't know if they were blindsided. It's the obvious thought to have that they didn't know that this was going to happen.
Couldn't have been too blindsided, though, right? Because this is what Trump campaigned on all the way through the campaign. He said for days around the inauguration that executive action would be coming on immigration as a very early priority in the first days. So how blindsided could they have been?
Well, I'm sure that you can agree with me that we are all a little bit amazed at the pace of the activity so yeah. far, and how he's signing executive orders that are extremely important and hard-hitting throughout like the first 2 weeks, right? The first week, actually.
It's
and we're
lot.
Expecting another one on immigration maybe later today, like as he talked about
Is
yesterday.
Is that going to be the one on refugees and ban on visas from maybe six Muslim countries?
Most likely, yeah.
And another way to possibly pay for the wall that Trump floated in his ABC interview yesterday was maybe extracting the funds from the $60 million annual trade deficit between the two nations, that could be narrowed over the next 2 years or so. Do you understand that one?
I'm not a trade expert, and so I'm not sure how that would work. But again, if he's trying to renegotiate the terms of NAFTA, I'm sure there's a way to get some reimbursement for whatever Donald Trump wants to do or wants Mexico to pay for.
So, listeners, I wonder if any Mexican-Americans are in the audience right now who send remittances home, or anybody else with any reaction to the Trump executive order yesterday with respect to Mexico and the wall, or anyone else. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll get to the executive order on sanctuary cities, which could affect a lot of different immigrants who are here illegally in the New York area. You can call up and talk about that. Or people who like these orders, anyone, 212-433-9692 with Juan Manuel Benitez, host of Puerto Politica on New York One Noticias. I'm kind of surprised to have found out that there was a meeting scheduled so quickly between Peña Nieto and Trump. Maybe it's just business as usual because Mexico is obviously our next door neighbor, so this would be a normal thing. But given the way Trump campaigned, given all his hostility toward Mexico, focus on Mexico, why was this meeting originally scheduled for next week, and what do you think they hope to accomplish?
Well, obviously, there's a relationship already. We saw how in August, President Peña Nieto invited Donald Trump and also Hillary Clinton to Mexico City. Donald Trump accepted the offer. They had a meeting. They talked about a different range of issues. After that, it's interesting to see that right after that meeting, that visit of Donald Trump in Mexico City, Mexicans were enraged that the president of Mexico had invited Donald Trump and that he had accepted the offer. So much so that the president of Mexico had to get rid of his right-hand man person who had orchestrated this meeting. Back then, if I remember correctly, the finance minister in Videgaray. Mr. Videgaray actually now is back in Peña Nieto's government as a foreign affairs minister, and he's in D.C. right now. So there's obviously
– You mean the fact that Trump got elected, and people, if you don't remember the story, when Trump had that meeting with the Mexican president in Mexico, which, you know, they ended with a little bit of a nicey-nice news conference. People mm-hmm. in Mexico were enraged because of the things that Trump had already been saying and Peña Nieto being so nice to him, at least publicly. And now that he's been elected, Trump, maybe it makes Peña Nieto and his foreign minister look a little smarter.
Yes, and obviously, like a meeting like this one between Peña Nieto and Donald Trump is obvious. We are neighbors. We need each other. We need to have a good relationship. The same way that Donald Trump is meeting today with Prime Minister of the UK, yeah. Theresa May, the same way he needs to meet with neighboring countries. And also from the part of Enrique Peña Nieto, he better have a good working relationship with the neighbor from the north, a country where millions of Mexicans, where they are, where they live, where they work. He needs to also protect the interests of those Mexican citizens.
Here is Russell calling from Saratoga Springs. Russell, you're on WNYC. Hello from downstate.
Good morning. I'm actually downstate with you, but I'm from the Springs. But I just heard on another online station that Trump told the president of Mexico not to bother coming if he was not going to pay for the wall. Any ideas on that thought?
Yeah, and we had brought that up a few minutes ago, and I have it as Trump saying that he might cancel his meeting with Peña Nieto. I mean, this would be very, very Trump, or maybe it's just very politician say, oh, yeah, you're announcing that you're considering canceling your meeting with me? Well, I'm going to cancel my meeting with you, seems to be what Trump has said. Or did he actually cancel it? Do you know?
And no idea. This is a negotiating tactic, obviously. And let's remember also that now, if they meet, if they end up meeting next week, they're going to be asked about, well, did you both talk about who's paying for the wall? They were asked the same question, and Trump was asked that question at the press conference in Mexico City back in August, and he said, like, no, we didn't talk about that. And then Enrique Peña Nieto, right after Donald Trump left the country, he went on a video or in front of the cameras to say that, yes, I told President Trump that Mexico won't pay for the wall. And mind you, that he's using better language than one of his predecessors, former President Vicente Fox. He's now extremely popular because every time he refers to the wall, he uses the F word to talk about that construction project.
Carolyn in Great Neck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Yes, I had heard that I'm not sure if we give aid to Mexico. I assume I just don't know how to find out. But I had heard that in lieu of giving the aid, we would keep that money to pay for the wall. And I wondered if you guys had heard anything about that.
That's a great question. When Trump talks about other ways of getting Mexico to pay for the wall, do you happen to know, Juan Manuel, if there's U.S. aid to Mexico, like foreign aid to poor countries kind of aid, and how much that might be?
I don't. I'm not sure about that. However, then again, there's a trade relationship between both countries. I'm sure there is a way that you can find to tax or to put some sort of burden on some products that will basically come up with the money, the $12 to $15 billion that a project like this one will cost to the U.S.
Here's the exact Trump tweet, which we now have from about an hour and a half ago. We can't follow every tweet every second. I'm sorry. So we're a little behind on this one, an hour and a half behind Trump's Twitter feed. We're going to have to hire a whole extra WNYC producer just to follow Trump's Twitter feed in case he makes news at any particular second. So at 8:55 a.m., he tweeted, if Mexico is unwilling to pay for the badly needed wall, then it would be better to cancel the upcoming meeting. So it's an if-then statement. It's not an I'm canceling it statement.
It's a great negotiating tactic, don't you think?
It's a negotiating tactic, no doubt. Maria in Morris County, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, I'm calling because everybody at this point is talking about Mexico, Mexico, Mexico. But what happened to all the other countries? You know, the smallest countries, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, Venezuela, all of them are paying for this wall. It's not only Mexico. When we talk about immigrants, it's everybody as a whole. This is a melting pot country. So we're talking about everybody, right?
Well, he's not asking. I gather that you told our screener you're from Costa Rica, right?
Yes.
But he's not asking Costa Rica to pay for the wall.
But eventually Costa Rica will end up paying for the wall as well when he taxes all the money that we're transferring to our country.
Do you send remittances home?
Yes, I do.
Can you talk to – because there's a lot of people who are, you know, born here. They don't know anything about remittances. Can you talk about it in, you know, personally and the importance to your family and on a broader sense to other people who come from your country?
Okay, so one example is every month I send, per se, $150 for my mother, which is very sick, and she has a skin cancer, so I have to take care of her and my family in there. And so if I send her $150, I have to pay $15 for the wire transfer. So let's say Donald Trump will raise up the money with the taxes, so I will have to pay what? Now it's not going to be $15. It's going to be $25.
Yeah, whatever the tax is.
For wiring $150 because I'm paying for the wall too.
I'm glad you explained that because a lot of people just haven't heard about remittances. Maria, thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
And call us again. Now, it should be probably reassuring to Maria in particular and people from other countries that are not Mexico that Trump hasn't proposed a tax on remittances. This is something that, as you say, Juan Manuel, came up during the campaign as, who knows, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. But he never said that he's going to place a tax on remittances to other countries. This is particularly aimed at Mexicans, it sounds like, if it were to be proposed.
That's what he floated. That's the idea he floated around when he talked about it last year. Another thing that we should have in mind is that the cooperation between both countries, the U.S. and Mexico, is really strong. And not only on the southern border of the U.S., but also on the southern border of Mexico. One of the ways that the U.S. stopped the influx of childhood arrivals like two years ago, was because of cooperation with the governor of Mexico. Most of these children were coming from countries like Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. And the Mexican government was the first stop, basically, that border, and that helped the U.S. to stop the flow of this young immigrants coming from those countries.
And I gather that Mexico wants to stop the flow of people coming illegally from Central America into Mexico itself. And, you know, people who are for a tough border enforcement policy here say, look, Mexico's doing the same thing on its southern border because it doesn't like its illegal immigrant problem, but we never talk about it.
Correct. And also, like, it's widely known that a war is not going to accomplish much. We know that for the most part, the southern border is already fenced. So you have like a really tall and strong fence throughout most of the border. Illegal immigration is not coming only from the southern border. It's coming through airports, through other ports of entry. And whatever is beneficial to the U.S. will be beneficial to Mexico. There's always a formula to come up with ideas that will benefit both countries, and that's whenever those formulas are found, and that's a good solution for both countries historically.
Sandra in Midtown, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I just want to make a really quick comment. I'm not from the left or the right party. I like to use my common sense. Regarding this subject, as many others, we all agree that unfortunately Trump is not the most intelligent person and it has a very low integrity. When it comes to other countries, including...
He says he's the smartest, by the way, and that his cabinet has the highest IQ ever. I'm just saying.
Well, I guess I'm actually reading a really good book on how to influence people and how to make friends and influence people. And it's just kind of really funny how you can see people, they only believe their own reality. So I do believe that is the case with him. That being said, I do believe that this whole strategy that he's trying to use, he's great in marketing. And what he has done, because unfortunately Mexicans are the most population of immigrants in the United States, he targeted Mexicans to actually get the most vote of unfortunately people who are upset because they're not having jobs. That being said, it is very funny how he is trying to say that people who Mexicans that are in the States that work in the U.S. and earn U.S. dollars are going to pay the wall. Where, just to be clear, it's a U.S. dollar. Therefore, it's money that's earned in the United States. So United States, it's paying for the wall. So it doesn't quite make sense for me. So just to finish, I like to say his analogy is more as like a husband or wife, of like an abused husband or wife personality, where he just kind of keeps mentally and physically abusing people, but unfortunately, people will still buy into it and say, I'm with him or I'm with her because he loves me, or she beats me, or he beats me because he loves me. So I'm just kind of all confused about what's going on now.
Donald Trump through the eyes of How to Win Friends and Influence People, through the eyes of Sandra in Midtown. Sandra, I gather you're a Mexican immigrant. Do you happen to send remittances home to anybody?
I'm Mexican-American. I don't. All my family are here, but I'm actually originally from San Diego and Tijuana. So I'm very familiar, and as it was mentioned before, there's actually a fan that has been created, it's been built for, I would say, probably over 10 years. And to be honest, I mean, he can spend as much money as he wants to on that wall, but let's be honest, that just still doesn't stop what is going on nowadays. There's tunnels, there's, I mean, you name it. So I think that's a waste of time. We should use the money in our people here in the United States to create jobs.
Sandra, thank you very much. Keep us updated on your reading list, okay?
I will.
Bye-bye. Luis in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Luis.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make two brief comments. The first, I think, is that the Mexican government is scared. They don't know what they're doing. This has been the pattern and practice of the president, Peña Nieto, who's been caught flat-footed with a bunch of scandals in his administration. And not only did they not expect Trump to win, but now that he won, they just don't have a plan. And to that point, there's actually some rumors that have been said in Mexico that he reappointed Videgaray because Trump asked Kushner to negotiate directly with him. So there's a sense that Mexico is already starting the negotiation from a position of weakness. I think that's bad for Mexico, obviously, and it's also bad for the president. He has the approval ratings are 12%, and there's just not a lot of support for him. And so I don't think he knows what to do. He's scared, and I don't think the government knows what to do.
You sound like you're familiar with internal Mexico politics.
Yes, I'm actually a Mexican lawyer, and I went to the same university as he did, and I did not plagiarize my thesis when I presented it. And the second point is, I think there's a mix of arrogance and denial. Jaime Serrapuche, who was one of the chief negotiators for NAFTA in 1992 and 1993 for Mexico, just gave a huge speech at a Mexican university, and what he said was that the U.S. cannot leave NAFTA. It's too dependent on Mexico, all the exports that they receive from Mexico. So it's a little bit of denial and arrogance. And I think to that point, and to the point of Mexico's lack of preparation, Mexico has signed more foreign trade deals than any other country in the Americas. But they haven't been able to use that as a springboard to do more trade with the European Union or South America or even Israel, who they have a free trade agreement with.
Why?
And so I think they're weak, they're unprepared, and I don't say this as a source of pride, but more as a source of fear for what's to come for the Mexican people.
Do you have your own opinion, obviously, having thought about this, what the best course of action for Mexico would be vis-a-vis Trump?
Well, I think one of the things they need to do is cancel the meeting that they're going to have next week and reassess and perhaps meet with people behind the scenes to analyze the situation. But I do think that the fact that Trump is putting this at the forefront of his agenda, being the second meeting he's having with a foreign leader, means that it's something that he's maybe doing for show, more for show than for substance. So perhaps maybe they should not cancel the meeting and, I go back on what I just said and meet with him and have some sort of paper or press conference, because Trump seems to like the picture, the photo op, and sort of behind the scenes, attenuate whatever consequences.
Yeah. Luis, thank you so much. Please call us again. That was really informative. Alessandro in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hello, Alessandro.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I was talking about to your screener that we got to discuss, I guess, why people here would give remittances. And we never looked at, I guess, the other side of why people on, I guess, Trump's base, I'm not a Trump supporter, by the way, but why they would be for taxing remittances, because I think Mexico received more than like $24 billion in remittances in like 2014, and that's like 2% of their GDP. And people are saying, well, if this money is going over there and it's not coming back to our local communities and our local businesses, then it's going to be hurting us. So when he says things like taxing remittances, although it's very hurtful for the people sending them, you can see where the people he's riling up see eye to eye on it with him. And he's a showman, so
I see
he's
your
really
point.
Doing this.
When we look at it in macroeconomic terms like that, I could see your point. But when we look at it in individual terms, imagine if the shoe was on the other foot. And I'm not saying you support this yourself, but for people who do, imagine the shoe was on the other foot, that your relative was living in France or Germany or the UK, any other country, and was making money and sending it home to you because you were their poor parent. Would you want France or Germany to tax that money as somehow rightfully theirs?
No, of course not. I mean, I don't agree with his policy, but
you're
he has all
it.
These cards to play,
yes.
So to speak. And I feel like the previous caller said how Mexico, the president seems very flat-footed because he sees the peso dropping. He doesn't really know what to do. His approval ratings are in like the teens. And I think Trump has the upper hand on him. I don't want to say that, but it looks to be. And
like the last caller was saying. Alessandro, thank you very much. Please, you call us again. Juan Manuel Benitez from New York One Noticias. I want to get to one other thing, and we'll talk about this more with Mayor de Blasio when he comes on tomorrow. But in the executive order yesterday, Trump also made mention again of sanctuary cities, which includes New York. Mayor de Blasio was quick yesterday to reiterate his pledge to protect all New Yorkers from deportation if they haven't committed serious crimes.
If someone's truly a violent criminal, absolutely they should be deported. If they're a law-abiding person or they've done the very minor things that even people we know might have done, we can't see them deported and families torn apart.
Now, Juan Manuel, I read through the whole executive order, and honestly, it's unclear to me what the order would require of New York or any other cities in terms of doing something differently to notify federal immigration authorities about people who the NYPD or other city agencies come in contact with. How clear is it to you what this executive order actually requires of New York?
Well, what's clear is that with this executive order, Donald Trump, President Trump, is bringing back secure communities, a program that was implemented by the Bush administration. And that might push the federal government to push local enforcement to really ask people they stop for their immigration papers. And that might be extremely damaging for that relationship that the NYPD wants to have with communities around the city. And also, it's really scary, I think, for New York City, because right now, elected officials like Mayor de Blasio are going to basically make the decision, do I protect my undocumented immigrant community or risking the federal funding, and you might have a case of the federal government asking the local government to give the federal government the records of the IDNYC program. They still have a database that they wanted to destroy it. Mayor de Blasio wanted to destroy it, and they haven't been able to destroy it. And also, you might have this case, Brian, because school lunches depend on federal funding, right? So you might have U.S.-born children in New York City schools who don't get school lunches because the city of New York has decided to protect his or her undocumented parent.
And there's a line in the executive order about anybody defrauding the government in any way. And that wouldn't mean necessarily committing some kind of violent crime or anything, but just filling out paperwork that you need to fill out if you get hired for a job, or I don't think it applies to school lunches or anything having to do with the public schools. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Right, but the federal funding pays for those school lunches.
Yes, so they might withhold that funding.
Right, and remember also that many undocumented immigrants, they are working right now with a fake Social Security number. A fake Social Security number that you can go to in some neighborhoods in Queens and you can get it for maybe $50 or $100.
I'm shocked, shocked.
Right. So that might be considered an offense, and those people might be liable for deportation.
So last thing, in your reporting in communities around New York City, what are you hearing people gearing up to do to protect themselves personally?
Well, the immigrant community is really scared right now. The activists are flat-footed. They weren't expecting Donald Trump to win the election. They don't really know yet what to do, the same as the Democratic Party that right now in D.C., they are trying to find a way to really oppose Donald Trump's policies. It's the same thing, and it's really worrisome for people outside of big cities. Long Island, there's a huge also undocumented community over there. They might not get the same protections that people in New York City get.
Juan Manuel Benitez, host of Puerto Politica, the politics show on New York One Noticias, New York One Spanish language news station. Thanks a lot, Juan Manuel.
Thank you, Brian.